I have to tell you that I struggled a little bit about what to preach to you. I had several different ideas that I had written over the past year. I have little note cards that I keep, and I'll write down something or put it in my phone if I get an idea or whatever. But the Lord burdened my heart to share with you two priests, the story of two priests that are recorded in the Bible, and the subject of our message today, being on the right side of history. Being on the right side of history. And I want to encourage you this morning to love what is right and to do what is right every day. Because when the day comes that you stop loving what is right and doing what is right, your ministry, your outreach has just ended. And I want to show you how a priest's life was ended and another's furthered. Two godly men, but two different choices at one juncture that's recorded in the Bible. I want you to turn with me, please, first of all, to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I'm going to walk through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles. We're going to take a look very briefly this morning at two priests, high priests of God, and two very different outcomes, two godly men. Two individuals that were faithful men up to a certain point, and then they went two separate ways. One's ministry was ended, the other was furthered. The two men that I want to talk to you about this morning is Zadok and Abiathar. Zadok and Abiathar, and the title of my message, On the Right Side of History. I want to begin reading in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, verse 18. And the king said to Doeg, this is King Saul, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now I want you to keep that phrase right there in your mind. That's very important to what we're going to see in the future. Because these two are going to interact again. And it's going to be on a different level. And it's going to be a change that takes place in one of these individuals' lives. I want you to look over, please. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 for just a moment. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, I want to introduce you to another high priest. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, Eleazar begat Phinehas, Phinehas begat Abishua, and Abishua begat Buki, and Buki begat Uzi, and Uzi begat Zerahiah, and Zerahiah begat Merioth, and Merioth begat Amariah, and Amariah begat Ahitub, and Ahitub begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Ahimaaz. Now here we have a link between a high priest by the name of Zadok all the way back to the founding priest. Eleazar, of course, was the son of Aaron. And so we have here in the Bible a link between Zadok in the past. We learn that Abiathar is linked to Eli and his family. So we have two families of high priests that are given to us here. Now let's look over, please, at 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. I want you to see these two high priests named together. Beginning at verse 24 of 2 Samuel chapter 15. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. Let me set the stage. Absalom has declared himself the new leader of Israel. which forces David out of Jerusalem and forces him out of the city, out of the protection of the walls. He is now headed up to the Mount of Olives, where he's going to gather together with his people. His 600 faithful men are going to meet him there. But as he goes, he has Zadok and Abiathar with him. They have the Ark of the Covenant that they are carrying outside the city. They don't know what's going on. This is a coup that is taking place. And so they grab the Ark of the Covenant and they take it with them as they go outside the city. And they passed out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I,' let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the Ark of God again into Jerusalem, and they tarried there. Verse 35. "And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be done that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. I want you to see these are two named high priests together. They're faithful to King David. They take the ark. They go with him outside the city. They're faithful. They're showing their support for David. And he said, "I want you two to go back and your two sons." Isn't that interesting that both of their boys were with them? And they're servants of God. They're being trained. He said, "You take the ark back into Jerusalem. And you be my eyes and ears there. If God be for me, then God will work out the details. And you'll let me know of that. But if God be against me, then God do so to me as He wills." But here we see these two high priests together, faithful to the king. Now I want you to turn with me over, please, to there are several other passages we could look at, but let's go to 1 Kings now, because I think it's important that we move ahead. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. David was old. He was well up in years. And he is losing his capacity to rule. And notice verse 5. "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself." This is one of David's sons, "saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, 'Why hast thou done so?' And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him." Notice verse 8. "But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah." Now I want you to flip the page there in your Bibles. We see Abiathar siding with Adonijah in verse 19. Verse 25 and 26, we find that Zadok remains with David. "But me, even thy servant," verse 26, "Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called." In other words, Adonijah wanted nothing to do with Zadok the priest. He wanted nothing to do with Nathan the prophet. He wanted nothing to do with another priest by the name of Benaiah. He wanted nothing to do with them. He never called them. He sent word, "I want Abiathar to be with me." And so these two high priests that had served together all the way back to a previous administration, Saul's administration, these two were co-high priests. They come now, David's old, and Abiathar makes a decision. "I'm going to go with the son. I'm going to go with Adonijah. He's young. He's strong. David's old. He's weak. I'm going to go with the son. It was the worst decision of Abiathar's life. I want to go down the track of Abiathar for just a few moments here, and I want you to show his end. Then I'm going to take you down the track of Zadok, and I want to show you his end and his future. Because the Bible records in the book of Ezekiel that the sons of Zadok are going to serve in the millennial temple as those who serve close to the throne of God. Why? We're going to be told why. It's because Zadok, their father, was on the right side of history. Let me just say something. Before we go down the Abiathar track and the Zadok track, let's stop for just a moment. Both of these men had been faithful. God had spared Abiathar among all of the priests that were murdered that day by Doeg. God had spared Abiathar. And Abiathar had been faithful to God. He was faithful during the time of the rebellion of Absalom. Abiathar was with David. He served God faithfully during that time. Alongside with Zadok, both of them faithful servants. But when it came down to it, as David was nearing the end of his kingship, Abiathar made a decision to go with the son, and Zadok went with the father, and God's choice for the nation of Israel. And one goes off into oblivion, and the other is named in the millennium. Oblivion or millennium? Let's think about Abiathar for just a few moments as we consider his life. I want you to look over, please, to chapter 2. Adonijah was executed by Solomon as he was a threat to the throne. Zadok and Nathan anointed Solomon to be the new king in his father's stead. I want you to look down, please, at verse 22 for just a moment of 1 Kings chapter 2. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, "And why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also." Now, this is just prior to his execution, Adonijah's execution. And notice, please, "Also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." He was very upset by his own mother trying to make a way for Adonijah by providing Adonijah with David's last wife. All right? The Shunammite. She came in and asked Solomon, "Hey, will you give the Shunammite to Adonijah? He wants her." And Solomon responds very angrily and said, "Why don't you ask for the kingdom for him? Because that's what he wants. He's using you. Why don't you go ahead and get Abiathar on your side too?" And then he goes on in verse 26 to reveal the end of this high priest. "And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. You remember what God said about Eli and his sons, that particular high priestly line would come to a conclusion. And who was the last one? Fourth generation Eli descendant, Abiathar. He was on the wrong side of what? History. Because he made a choice. He made a choice. Now, how did he make his choice? Why did he make his choice to go with Adonijah? You have to understand the time. David was quite old now, and Adonijah was a very personable type individual, very much like his brother Absalom. Very personable, very outgoing. One that could get the people on his side. And by the way, many of the people were on his side. They liked him. He was someone that they could identify with. And so Abiathar the priest takes the popular candidate for king rather than God's candidate for king and begins to support him. Because of that decision, that choice, he was removed from being a high priest. He was isolated in Anathoth to spend the rest of his days there because the king said he was worthy of death. Now, this is a man that had been faithful for many, many years. Shouldn't that count for something? We might say in our 21st century thinking. Oh, give him another chance. Look at all the good he's done. Look, he was almost killed at Nob, and yet God spared him. He was faithful to David during the uprising of Absalom. Surely that should count for something. But did it? In the end, Abiathar was removed from his position as high priest. He was the one that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and minister there once a year. He was one that had been involved in sacrifices. Let me just say this, folks. You can undo a lifetime of doing right by doing wrong one time. Are you listening to me? I don't think we get that in our culture today, but it's very true. I know we live in the dispensation of grace, but I also want you to know what grace teaches. Grace teaches us that denying ourselves, we should live godly and soberly and righteous in this present world, and we should shun that which is ungodly. Grace doesn't permit us to just do what we want to do. Grace teaches us to do what is right. And you can undo a whole lifetime of Christian activity. You can undo a whole lifetime of doing what's right, as Abiathar did, by doing wrong one time. And this was a big one. He supported the wrong one. Instead of supporting God, somehow Abiathar had become disconnected with God and he didn't know the right choice. Or he knew the right choice. We're not told this. He knew the right choice and chose to go against it to pick another one. And as a result, he was removed from being a high priest. This is serious business, folks. Doing right is very important. Very quickly, let's go to Zadok. Zadok was the high priest who stood with King Solomon. Zadok was there when he was appointed to be that. But I want you to look with me over to Ezekiel for just a moment. I want to take you to this passage very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 44. The Bible is so good in connecting things from the past. No mistakes or errors in the Word of God. And he records for us. By the way, Zadok's mentioned several times in the book of Ezekiel. His sons are mentioned over and over again. You come to chapter 44, and I want you to see this, please, beginning at verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. In other words, they're going to have subservient roles in the millennial temple because their lines had not been pure and true and had done what was right during the time of these problems within the nation of Israel. And instead of leading them into righteousness, the children of Israel, they brought error in. In the millennial kingdom, they're going to have subservient roles to play. Notice, please, as we continue on, verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God." Isn't this amazing? Here we find that God is going to honor the family of Zadok. Why? Because they did not go astray from me. They were on the right side of what? History. They did what was right at a crucial moment and time. They stayed right, they loved what was right, and they did what was right, and God honors them in the future. This hasn't happened yet. This is still future. During the millennium, the temple is going to be rebuilt, and the services of the temple will be restored again, and the sons of Zadok are going to be the ones that minister close to God. Why? Because their father was on the right side of history. I'll take you to chapter 48 because it's mentioned again. As a matter of fact, there's a special land that is given to the sons of Zadok. Notice, please, verse 10 of chapter 48. "And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation, toward the north 25,000 in length, and toward the west 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the middle thereof. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of whom?" Zadok. For the first time in Israel's history, the Levite family of Zadok will have their own land. Now this is significant. In the Bible, where do the Levites live? In the Old Testament scripture. They lived among the people. Did they have their own property and land? No. They were not given. The tribe of Levi lived among all the other tribes to teach them God's word, to help them to understand what was holy and what was profane. But now, in the millennium, the house of Zadok is going to have their own land, and the temple's going to be in the middle of that land. It's going to belong to the Levites, the sons of Zadok. Why? That's the first question. Why? Because they were on the right side of history. Now, very quickly, I've got three things that I want to share. How in this world does a person stay on the right side of history? How do you avoid being in Abiathar and being on the wrong side of history? And how do you become like Zadok and be on the right side of history? Three principles. Number one, seek out what is right, love what is right, and do what is right, no matter what. That's easy to say, but it's a struggle to do, is it not? Especially in our day and age. But I'm here to tell you, that's the secret of being on the right side of history. If you want to be on the right side of history 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or until the rapture, whenever God comes back, what should you do? I should love what is right. I should seek out what is right. And I should do what is right, no matter what. Oh, there are examples. I'm thankful for Zadok. Zadok is a wonderful example. And by the way, his son followed in his stead, because it says the sons of Zadok. They will minister close to God. Their property will be the host of the millennial temple. It will be the sons of Zadok's land. And the temple will be built right in the middle of that land, because they were faithful to God and they were on the right side of history because they did what was right. Seek out what is right, love what is right, and do what is right, no matter what. Number two, be loyal to those who are doing right and separate from those who are doing wrong. It's such a simple principle. It's throughout the Bible. I don't have time to take you to all the Bible verses that teach this principle. But very simply put, be holy for I am holy. That's what God said that His desire was for His children. Be ye holy for I am holy. In other words, be loyal to those who are doing right. Be loyal to God and separate from those that are doing wrong. You want to keep yourself preserved and be on the right side of history? You be loyal to those who are doing right. Don't let anybody steer you away from those people who are doing right. You love them. You stick with them. And those that are doing wrong, what should you do? You should get away from their influence. What does Psalm 1 say? Okay? We're not to stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scorn. We're not to walk with them. We're not to sit with them and talk with them. We're to separate from them. Why? Because God wants us to be blessed. He wants you to be on the right side of history. The Bible is replete with examples of those that did not do right consistently. And as a result, they paid the horrible price. Abiathar was sent away to Anathoth, and that's where he had to live the rest of his life. He no longer could serve. He had done that all of his life. He didn't know a life apart from the temple. And yet, because he chose to follow the wrong leader and support the wrong leader, there were serious, serious consequences that came into his life. He could have known the right choice, or maybe he did know the right choice, but he chose instead to go with the culture's pick. I want to warn you about this. The culture will separate you from those people that are doing right. That's what's happening this very hour. Do you understand what's happening in our country? What is the culture seeking to do? What in many ways are our government policies trying to do? It's marginalized Christians. Are you listening to me this morning? Try to get culture to push the Christians out to the fringe and isolate them and say, you don't want any part with them. Those are radicals. Those are crazy people. What's he trying to do? They want you to embrace the culture, those that are doing wrong. And I want to tell you something, young people. You better listen to me this morning. You will be steered from a life of heartbreak and sorrow if you'll just follow these simple principles every day of your life. Every day. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be loyal to those that are doing what's right. I'm going to honor them. Why do we mention individuals like Dr. Hobbs? So important. I'm going to mention some others that were influential in Dr. Hobbs' life. Why? Because they wanted to do what was right. It was the burning desire of their heart to do what's right. Why did Zadok come out on the right side of history? Because he had a burning desire in his heart to do what was right and to be loyal to those that wanted to do what was right. And as a result of that, his family will get a piece of property that the temple's going to be built on, and they'll get to serve near to Christ. How many of you think that's a blessing this morning? Yeah. Anybody here want to go down Abiathar's pathway? Isolated? Sent away? Because he wasn't faithful. Even though he had been a tremendous high priest. One doing wrong basically erased all that went before. I want to tell you something, folks. You're not done until you're standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. There's no point where you can take a vacation from doing what's right. I'm going to just step back for a little while and I'm going to do what's wrong. You can't do that. You've got to stick with the Lord. You've got to be faithful. You've got to seek out what's right. You've got to love what's right, and you've got to do what's right if you're going to be on the right side of history. And then number three, the last point. Don't allow the prevalent culture of the day deter you from doing right. His choice, Abiathar, was based on what the people wanted rather than what God wanted, and that got him crossways with history. And that's what the culture will do to you. Some of you right now perhaps are being steered because of all the things that are happening in our world today. So much has happened in the last 5 years. But we're talking about things we never thought we'd be talking about in our culture. We're seeing things we never thought we would see in the American way of life. But what I'm telling you this morning is this. Don't let the culture get you crossways with doing what's right. Because if you go with the culture, you will be on the wrong side of history. And you will suffer all the consequences that come from being on the wrong side of history. There's the Abiathar track. There's the Zadok track. My heart's desire for you this morning and for myself is that we be on Zadok's side. Was it easy to go against the culture? To go to the king who was quite elderly at that time and said, listen, if you don't get on the stick here, we're going to lose the kingdom. God has appointed your son Solomon, not Adonijah, to be king. And so they quickly put together an inauguration ceremony, and they got the right king on the throne. And Abiathar was banished because he chose the wrong one. He went with the culture. One time, this is my point that I want you to get today, just one time can ruin you and your Christian life. History is littered with former people who were good, upstanding Christians, but they chose to do wrong, and as a result, out of the ministry, out of the pulpit, not able to serve God anymore. I heard just this week, a very sad situation involving a missionary on the field. Got involved with some things they shouldn't be involved with, and as a result, they're coming home from the field. Can't serve anymore. Why? Because they chose to do wrong instead of doing what was right. They weren't seeking what was right. They weren't loving what was right, and they didn't do what was right. Folks, this is the heartbeat of God, is following Him and doing what's right every day of your life. Every morning you get up, Lord, help me to do what's right today. Don't let me get crossways with Thee. Don't let me steer after somebody else. Lord, help me to do what's right today. And don't let the culture get in between you and God. It'll do it. It'll worm its way in there if you're not careful. The culture will come in to your house and to your home and to your family and destroy it if you let it. And you'll be on the wrong side of history. God, help us all to love what's right and to do what's right and to be faithful to Him and fight against the cultural propensities that will steer you down to hell. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Word. Two godly men serving Thee, two very different end-of-life outcomes. One chose to do what was right all the way to the end. Another made one wrong decision and it ended his ministry as a high priest. And he was declared by the king of Israel to be worthy of death for what he had done. Lord, I pray that You would teach us from this passage. Help us to understand how important it is to set our hearts on the pathway of righteousness by the grace of God. Lord, we're not saved to live for ourselves. We're not saved to do whatever the world's doing. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're to love Thee, and we're to live for Thee. Lord, what a striking example from Your Word of what happens to those that choose another pathway. Does it mean that Abiathar was lost? It means that Abiathar was rendered useless in any form of ministry and worthy of death because he was on the wrong side of history. Help us, Father, to stay true to Thee, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.